Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 209, Father, we praise you, 209. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are greater than all. Greater than all the powers and persons of this world. Greater than all the great names of past and present, we worship you, the Creator God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever. Lord, you have made the light to shine out of darkness, not only in the original creation of the world, not only in today's daylight, which follows yesterday's night, but in the light of the world which dawns in people's hearts, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us in every sense to be children of the light and be present in our worship. Lord God, when your Son Jesus Christ came to this world, it was to a world blundering in the darkness of ignorance and sin. When he comes into our lives, it's into lives which are clouded and besmirched with the trappings of this world. We get our scale of values wrong and place importance on the wrong things. We live as though we ourselves were the center instead of making Jesus Christ the center of our life. We receive your gifts and yet fail to make the best use of them in daily life. We call ourselves Christians, but we so often forsake the Lord and flee, as did his first disciples, when the going is rough. Forgive us our failures, Lord, and help us to find it in our hearts to forgive others. Take possession and control of our lives so that we can more truly represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. May yours be the Spirit which gives meaning and purpose to our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, friends, it's time for hide and seek. That is the name of the play we're going to see from the Jesus and Me Club, whom we welcome to the church today, as usual, on the last Sunday of the month. And here is Mrs. Louisa Chisholm to introduce it.
This month, we have been talking about the story of Gideon. They have made pictures that are up in Big Hall, and they've learned the play that they're going to do now. Now, you need to... there'll be people popping up beside you, so don't get a wee fright if suddenly people come beside you. And here they are, they're just about to do it.
We have a few minutes left till the end of class. What game would you like to play?
Hide and seek.
Who wants to be it?
We all want to be it.
Do you want to go again?
I want to hide from God.
Good idea. It's hard to hide from God.
We're all very good at hiding.
Okay then, everyone can hide and then Fraser can ask, can God see us now? Then I will let you know if God can actually see you. Are you ready? Are you set? Then you better go find your hiding places.
Can God see us now?
Yes, he can see Ewan by the pulpit and Natalie by the organ. You'll have to find a more secret hiding place if you want to hide from God.
Can God see us here?
Yes, you can see Duncan and Carrie in the pews. You'll have to find a better hiding spot if you want to hide from God. Yes, you'll have to find a sneaker hiding place if you want to hide from God.
God is so good at this game. Everywhere in this room, he's still as good as...
God could find you anywhere in this room, anywhere in Stevenson, anywhere in the whole of North Ayrshire, and even anywhere in the whole of Scotland.
Can you find us if we go to another continent or into outer space?
Yes, he can. God is so good at hide and seek that he can find you no matter where you go.
That's nice that we can't get lost from him.
No matter how far you travel, how many mistakes you make, how hard your life gets, or how much trouble you get into, God will find you no matter where you are. God still knows your name. You are special to him and nothing can change that. God is with you wherever you go.
A remarkable performance, young people. Thank you very much. And now the young people's hymn from Junior Praise number 166. Morning has broken. 166. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 127 at verse 1. Psalm 127 at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, at verse 7. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. A hymn from CH3, number 144, God is Love, 144. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, at verse 12. Ever since the coming of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent men are seizing it. It seems strange to hear Jesus speak about violence in this way. At a first glance, it would seem that he's implying that the kingdom of God can be seized by violent men, captured by force. That's so very different from almost everything else that Jesus is recorded as saying about the kingdom of God, that we can be sure that there's more to it than the superficial meaning. It's a pity about the use of this word violent, because of the ways in which this word is commonly used nowadays, we tend to get the wrong impression from reading a verse like this. I'm sure Jesus is not talking about people whom we would nowadays describe as violent, seizing his kingdom and stealing it, as it were, for themselves. For one thing, we have to keep constantly in mind what the kingdom of God is. It is the rule of God in people's hearts and lives, having God as king. People can't steal that. Nobody can seize that by force. That kingdom is not the kind of thing which can be seized like an earthly kingdom or empire. So if that's not what Jesus means, what does he mean? It seems to me he's making a kind of play on words here. People are assailing the kingdom of God with violence, with strength, with concerted efforts. And it is with strength, with determined effort, that people are getting hold of the kingdom of God. In other words, although people are trying to take away our religion from us, trying to destroy our faith in God, there are those who are determined to be God's servants and to live in his way. So determined that their determination and their efforts can well match the determination and efforts of their enemies. Maybe therefore it would have been more helpful to us in our day and generation and with our experience of the word violence if it had said determination. But anyway, if we think about it in those ways, we begin to get the idea that Matthew is conveying in this passage. The gist of the message is that we who try to follow the Christian way, we who try to make God the king and the only ruler in our hearts and lives, we have to be prepared to meet the opposition. Maybe the opposition that we meet in the course of our daily life is not so much violent as subtle. People don't attack our faith openly, perhaps. At least most of the time they don't. But at the same time, we have to say there is an atmosphere around us in these days in which we're living, an atmosphere which tends to pull us away from Christian faith and away from faithful religious practice and away from the kingdom of God, away from having God ruling in our hearts and lives. What causes that atmosphere? Well, of course, it has many ingredients, hasn't it? More people have more money available to them nowadays than in previous generations, perhaps. So they're more aware of the goods which money can buy and the possibilities which money opens to them. It becomes very difficult to avoid the selfish motives and the self-centered outlook. Then there's the gradual lowering of moral standards, ways of life which were always practiced, but in earlier generations were always frowned upon by the majority of decent people. Those ways of life have become not only more widely accepted and practiced, but more openly accepted by the public at large. People have discarded old moral standards. But they don't want to discard the idea of respectability. So there's been a move towards making those degrading ways of life accepted, making them accepted as respectable. officialdom perpetuates this degrading scale of values too. Not so long ago, when we had a forum to fill in for something, the forum might ask us to tick the appropriate box, single or married. Now, instead, one particular forum offers single or couple. You, sir, you, madam, who are filling up this forum, you may be single, but you cannot be couple. You can only be part of a couple. But those who produce the form are not in the least interested in the difference between adjectives and nouns, and there are far more serious things than that in which they're not interested either. So there are some, at least, of the indications of how we who seek to follow the Christian way and maintain Christian standards, we're having our faith attacked in subtle ways. Not so much by anyone's words, as by a growing and prevailing atmosphere. Ever since the coming of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent men are seizing it. Violence of different kinds, pressure, the pressure of prevailing trends, the ways more and more people are living their life, the standards which are becoming accepted as normal, respectable standards, just as damaging as violence with swords or guns, damaging to the faith and the faithfulness of those who still try to be faithful to their Lord. So there is a call for effort and determination on the part of those of us who are still trying to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, still trying to stand up for him, still trying to live the way he calls upon us to live, and trying to spread a Christian influence as we go through life. It's good for us to realize that Jesus calls us into his service, and he doesn't want wishy-washy disciples. He's not looking for those who just ease or drift along, content to go through the motions of religious practice, and let the world develop as it will. Let the Christian way of life be pushed into the background and more or less forgotten. Jesus needs those who are determined, people to whom it matters. We are not able to change the world for the better by our own efforts, by the contribution which we can make, you in your small corner and I in mine. But we are not asked to change the world. The Lord himself will do that. We are asked to give our best. Giving our best is a full-time task. It demands everything we have and everything we can do and everything we can give every day of our life. If there is the influence of lower standards to be combated, if there is the pressure of the world's ways to be resisted, where is it that we're most likely to confront these enemies? Is it not most likely that we have to meet them within ourselves? Is it not with our own life that we must begin? The kingdom of God has to be established there, the rule of God, so that other things don't rule and dominate our life. The passage we read talked about violence. We've seen that what it means is powerful effort and determination expressed in whatever way they may be from time to time. There is violence of various kinds opposing the Christian cause today. Some of that violence is within ourselves. Pressure, subtlety, the pull of the outwardly attractive things of the world, the pool of the ways that we become accustomed to, perhaps over many years. But whether the opposition is within ourselves or whether it is opposition we meet out with ourselves in the course of our going about through daily life, the answer is always the same. The Lord Jesus Christ has been through it himself. He's met the opposition at every level. He knows what we are up against. And he goes through it all with us. But we have to remember how people get his help. In the course of his earthly ministry, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, but he never cured anyone who didn't want to be cured. Rather, the reverse. People came crowding to him. People called out to him. People got on their knees and begged him. In other words, his help is given to those who determinedly want it. Now, if you and I determinedly want the help of the Lord to overcome the evil in ourselves, to overcome the pressures against the church today, to overcome the difficulties which are besetting the church in our own area and in our land today, then we know what we have to do. Come to him. Come to him wholeheartedly and determinedly. Come to him repeatedly. Be prepared to give him our best and give him our all. He will not let us down. We must not let him down. And now to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 277, Hark the Glad Sound, 277. Let us pray. Almighty God, of whose own gifts alone we can give to you, since all that we have is yours, accept the offerings we humbly present, and grant that with them we may have grace to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. We thank you, Lord, for the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. We thank you that he came right into the human scene, not encumbered with material riches, not cluttered with worldly power or hampered with high position in a human sense, but humble and ordinary, endowed with your power and your spirit to lift the merely human to the divine, to lift the humble and ordinary to the glorious and perfect. As we approach the season when we especially remember his coming, grant that we may not be cluttered and hampered by the things of this world, the pressure of the world's life, the restrictions of economic circumstances, the emptiness of mere merrymaking for its own sake. Help us so to open our lives to the inflowing of your grace, that we may express that inward joy which transcends the thoughts and feelings which come and go, which outstrips and outlasts the joy which comes from merely human things. Especially at this time, Lord, we join with Scottish people the world over in giving thanks for the witness and example of our patron saint, your servant Andrew, the very first to become a disciple of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all of life, for health and strength and recovery from illness, for work and leisure and the ability to serve you in everything, for the way in which all things work together for good to those who love you. Deepen our love for you and help us to express it more fully in the life of every day. We pray for the work in which the church is involved. Lord, you sent your Son into the world that all might live through him. Let the church feel the inflowing of your Spirit, that it may joyfully take the gospel everywhere. Let there always be those who will sacrifice themselves and their own concerns for the work of your kingdom. We pray for the nations of the world. May there be real peace among them. We ask your blessing on this dear land of Scotland and the United Kingdom of Nations, of which it continues to be part. Bless our Queen and the Royal House, those in authority and positions of leadership. May yours be the spirit which inspires our national life. We pray for those who are ill and those whose work is to tend them. As you sent Jesus Christ to be the Saviour and healer, help all physicians and nurses to have present in their mind his example. Let them express in their work his tenderness and sympathy with human suffering. We commend to your care all patients at home or in hospital. Soothe their pain, relieve their anxiety. Help them to cast their care upon you, their God. We pray for our own folk, Lord. Care for their needs and let them know the peace of your presence. We bring to you in prayer those who have wronged us or with whom we find it difficult to get along. Forgive them. Forgive us. Bring us together into your heavenly kingdom. Almighty God, we thank you for those whose faith and patience have seen them through this this earthly life and into your nearer presence. As they, as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, may we likewise follow in their steps. With all who, like the Apostle St. Andrew, have lived in your faith and fear, may we be gathered into your kingdom forever through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Drink of water. Sorry about cluttering throat. Our closing praise is hymn 286, Tell Out My Soul, 286. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.